போகுது. அதான்
அல்லாஹு அக்பர் அல்லாஹு அக்பர் அல்லாஹு அக்பர் அல்லாஹு அக்பர் அஷ்ஹது அன் லா இலாஹ இல்லல்லாஹ் அஷ்ஹது அன் லா இலாஹ இல்லல்லாஹ் அஷ்ஹது அன்ன முஹம்மதர் ரசூலுல்லாஹ் அஷ்ஹது அன்ன முஹம்மதர் ரசூலுல்லாஹ் حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
ரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹ். அஷ்ஹது அல்ல இலாஹ இல்லல்லாஹ் வஹ்தஹு லா ஷரீக லஹு واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الذين مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور.
Those who, if we establish them in the earth, will observe prayer and pay the zakat and enjoin good and forbid evil. And with Allah rests the final issue of all affairs. All praise belongs to Allah the Almighty. Today, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Japan has been granted the opportunity to establish the first mosque in Japan. May Allah the Almighty bless this in every way. And may you be those who fulfill this objective for which a mosque is built. Mosques are being constructed by non-Ahmadis and other Muslims as well. And they construct very beautiful mosques by spending hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. Here in Japan, this is the first mosque built by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. However, it is not the first mosque built in this nation. It is said that there are 100 mosques or possibly more belonging to the other Muslims in this country. The mere construction of a mosque is not something that implies that we have achieved our goal of coming to Japan. Nor is the fact that, as some say with great pride, that the mosque that we have built is the largest mosque in Japan in terms of its capacity. This is also not a matter of great importance, and one should not think that we have achieved the limits of our heights. Our goal will be fulfilled when, having taken the bayt, i.e. the pledge of initiation of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, we try to attain its purpose. And the goal is this, that we ought to forge our bond with God Almighty, and we become those who discharge the rights of His worship, and that we discharge the rights of His creation. Moreover, while considering the state of our practical deeds, we ought to achieve the highest standards in relation to them. Also, may we become those who make the beautiful message of Islam and His beautiful teaching reach every person. When Japan gained religious freedom, and the Japanese people became inclined towards religion, they also became inclined towards Islam. When this matter was brought to the knowledge of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, he expressed an intense desire to make the message of true Islam reach the Japanese people. He clarified that if more than a century ago the Japanese people were inclined towards Islam, then they should also be given the message of true Islam. Otherwise, what need is there to turn to a dead religion? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, how can those who do not have the spirit of Islam in themselves, i.e. other Muslims, be of any benefit to others? He further said that the other Muslims, who by closing the door to revelation, have made their religion dead. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said with much pain that other Muslims are not only wronging themselves by saying this, that the door to revelation has closed, but they also cause others to deter from entering in Islam by exhibiting their creed and wrong deeds. What means do they possess by which they seek to bring an end to other religions? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said to his followers that in this community they should prepare some people for this task who are wise and courageous people. He also expressed the desire to write a book for the purpose of preaching among the Japanese. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, who came as a follower of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to spread his message in the world, which indeed includes Japan and Oceania and other parts of the world. It is indeed the grace and favor of Allah the Exalted that you people have had the opportunity to come to this country. It is due to the grace and favor of Allah the Exalted that among you there are some whose businesses Allah the Exalted caused to flourish after coming here. Almost all of the Ahmadis who have come here are financially better as compared to when they were in Pakistan. Many among you are those whose fathers or grandfathers accepted Ahmadiyyat. And indeed, among those there would have been those who, after listening to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, wished and longed to be given the opportunity to spread the beautiful message of Islam in Japan and the rest of the world. But their longing remained unfulfilled. However, Allah the Exalted has granted you the opportunity to come to Japan, as well as setting off in other countries, in order to convey this message. Did you only migrate to Japan for economic convenience? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, expressed regret that how can the other Muslims spread Islam in Japan? Because they have closed the door to revelation and making their faith dead. What need would there be for the Japanese or the people living in any country to be introduced to a dead religion? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that it is you who can give proof of Islam as being a living faith and enlighten the world about its excellences.
Allah
تعلق کے راستے بند کر دیے.
Once the paths of forging a bond with Allah are closed, then what difference remains between Muslims and other religions?
اگر اسلام کی برتری دنیا پر ثابت کرنی ہے تو پھر اللہ تعالی سے.
If the superiority of Islam is to be proven to the world, then it can be done by forming a living connection with God Almighty. And telling the world that the God of Islam still speaks to those who He loves. By coming here and being economically better is not sufficient enough for coming here. And certainly it is not. Rather, everyone needs to create a bond with Allah the Exalted. Islam does not need any sword to spread. Rather, it is in need of people who have complete belief and faith in God the Almighty. For the spread of Islam, those people are needed whose standards of worship of God are very high. And for the spread of Islam, such people are needed who, instead of perpetrating murder and mayhem, engage in jihad against their souls in order to make themselves better people. It is a state of great tragedy for the Muslims that on the one hand, they reject the concept of creating a bond and the living and continual revelation of God the Almighty. And on the other hand, they try to spread Islam by the sword and through oppression. Their extremism is continuing. By murdering innocent people, they claim to be serving Islam. Now, a few days ago, the incident that occurred in Paris was an extremely barbaric act. By doing such acts, these people are not garnering the grace of Allah the Exalted. Rather, they incur His wrath. In this regard, where there is huge responsibility on Ahmadis to increase their levels of worship of God Almighty, there, they also have to preach to others with the beautiful teaching of Islam. Therefore, fulfill the rights of this mosque that has been built. In order to fulfill the rights of the mosque, have it filled with people 5 times a day. And in order to fulfill the rights of this mosque, you must increase your level of worship of God Almighty. And in order to fulfill its rights, analyze and reflect upon the condition of your practical deeds. And in order to fulfill the rights, expand the field of preaching. At one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that wherever you want to introduce Islam, build a mosque there. And as a result, the avenues for preaching and ways of introducing Islam will continue to open up. The mosque in Japan places a responsibility upon you that where you increase the standards of worship, there you should also improve your standards for preaching. Now, even prior to the inauguration of the mosque, the media has given a considerable amount of coverage. And with respect to this, it presented a peaceful Islam to the natives of this nation. It is now the task of each and every Ahmadi living here in Japan to avail from this introduction. A mosque is nothing new for the Japanese people. As I mentioned earlier, that it is claimed that there are around 100 mosques here. So what is so important about the inauguration of this mosque? The significance is that unlike other Muslims, we portray the true picture of Islam. That is the picture that was portrayed by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for which his ardent devotee, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, was sent in this age to show. And to present this picture, you will also have to discharge your responsibility. And this responsibility cannot be discharged by simply limiting yourselves to strengthening your claim to believe, but by striving to achieve the highest standards of your practical state, as well as increasing in mutual love, affection, and brotherhood. The standards which our master and leader set his sights on, and also his true and ardent devotee. What did he do? And what did he show? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed this love and affection practically in society, which he had taught. We will have to turn our attention in this direction. We can also find this mentioned in the Holy Quran. Therefore, to merely say Alhamdulillah, may all praise belongs to Allah, that we have believed in the Imam of the age, and that we are Ahmadi, is not sufficient. Attention has been drawn by Allah the Exalted in the verse recited at the start of the sermon. Ahmadi Muslims have indeed been addressed, because it is we who have accepted the Imam of the age. And among whom the system of Khilafat is instituted for the strengthening and firmly establishing faith. And Allah the Almighty has laid down some basic principles for an Ahmadi Muslim, for the one who believes in the Imam of this age and who claims to be attached with the system of Khilafat. Firstly, to draw one's attention to the observance of Salat, for this is the fundamental purpose of your creation. If attention is not being paid in this regard, then it is also incorrect to claim to be true Muslims. And it would be wrongful to claim that we will bring about a revolution in the world. It would also be incorrect to claim that we have accepted the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is because the very objective of the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, as he said, was to connect man to God the Exalted. And he also stated that the second objective was to discharge the rights and dues of one another. In this verse, Allah the Almighty states that the distinction of the true servants of Allah the Almighty is that they are those who fear God and pay the dues of His worship and also spend from their wealth for the pleasure of God and for the betterment and good of others. And not only do they bring about a change in themselves by living according to taqwa, i.e. righteousness, but by showing their examples, they also leave behind models for others to emulate. Models of how to avail the real objective of life and how to protect oneself from shaitan. If we accept the one who was sent in this age and who has come from God Almighty, then we must be mindful of the fact that this is a favor of Allah the Exalted, while the other Muslims are dispersed, and they have no voice which can establish them on one hand. We accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and after him, through the continuation of the institution of Khilafat, he has firmly established this to the extent that upon listening to one voice, we make our moves. Firm strength and establishment does not simply mean attaining governance or power. Rather, it also means to establish awe as well as creating peace. Inshallah ta'ala, God willing, this time will soon come when governments will also accept and serve the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and will gain the correct understanding of Islam. The world has also now started to look towards us in order to give them the true teaching of Islam. Therefore, this is also a kind of strength and the awe which God Almighty is manifesting in the world. However, only those will benefit from it who pay heed to the words of God Almighty. God Almighty states that in order to become the recipients of His grace, remain firm on virtuous deeds and spread them, and refrain from vice and save others from it also. As long as you stay firm on this and hold fast to this fundamental principle, you will continue to succeed. Thus, every Ahmadi should always keep this in mind, that they must continue to pay focus on improving their actions. Only then can they attract the world's attention towards themselves. This will also become the means of our Jamaat's strength when governments will begin to follow the true teaching and will become subservient to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are indeed glad tidings of great objectives which God Almighty has given to a true Muslim. But to those Muslims who are not unjust, rather they stay firm on justice and who do not forget God Almighty, but in fact fulfill the dues of His worship, and who do not usurp the rights of others, but instead they fulfill the rights of others, and are not selfish, rather they are selfless, who have a relationship of sincerity with Khilafat-e Ahmadiyya, and do not just simply repeat pledges at Jamaat gatherings. Instead, they assess their own selves first in order to spread good and stop evil. Those who sacrifice their egos for the sake of safeguarding the Nizam-e-Jamaat, these are the factors which will enable one to draw closer to God Almighty. And they will also enable one to fulfill the rights of God Almighty's creation. And also enable one to become a true Ahmadi, which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expected from his believers. There are some among you who say that they are ready to sacrifice everything for Khilafat. However, when they are asked to end their disputes and arguments with one another and become united, they look for endless excuses. Therefore, if you want to become a true mu'min, i.e. a true believer, then instead of searching for excuses and ways to create disorder, establish peace and security through offering sacrifices. Remember, you are being associated with this mosque. However, it is not an association to the bricks or the cement or the brick building. Instead, you are being associated to that person whom God Almighty sent in this age to connect man with God Almighty and end all personal disputes, desires and egos, and bind people in a system which demands sacrifice. Not just the sacrifice of one's wealth, but also of one's ego. Enjoining good does not only mean to enjoin others. In fact, it directs one's attention to him or herself first, as to whether their own actions conform to what they say. Forbidding evil requires that before telling others, assess yourselves first. Majority of you who are here are from Pakistan, where you had to endure persecution, restrictions, and difficulties in order to worship. And where you are punished for calling your mosque a mosque. And a place where you would be sentenced to 3 years in imprisonment for greeting someone with the message of peace. Some of you have sought asylum owing to these restrictions, and some are here for business. Thus, reflect and ponder over the fact that how much God Almighty has blessed you. There are no restrictions imposed on you to worship, and there is no punishment for calling a mosque a mosque. And your greeting of peace is admired rather than being sent to prison for it. Therefore, does all this not demand that we bring about a revolutionary change in ourselves? And to recognize the purpose of our creation, and instead of fulfilling our personal interests, we should seek to attain the pleasure of God Almighty. We should live with one another with love and affection, and also spread this love and affection in our society. We should instill those qualities which God Almighty wants us to have. Simply making a mosque does not develop these qualities. In fact, effort is needed for this. Describing these qualities in the Holy Quran, God Almighty states, they are the ones who turn to God in repentance, who worship Him, who praise Him, who go about in the land serving Him. Who bow down to God, who prostrate themselves in prayer, who enjoin good and forbid evil, and who watch the limits set by Allah, and give glad tidings to those who believe. Thus, in order for a person to become a true mu'min, i.e. a true believer, the first condition is to repent. In other words, to confess one's own sins, and whilst confessing, also pledge to completely avoid them. Sins are not just big sins, but even small mistakes can cause disturbances in the Nizam, i.e. the system within the Jamaat. And they too can become sins. Once this pledge is adhered to, then it is incumbent upon a mu'min, i.e. a true believer, to worship God Almighty while fulfilling the dues of His worship. It is also obligatory upon a mu'min to abide by God Almighty's will. And what is God Almighty's will? As I have mentioned earlier, that God Almighty's will is for man to worship God Almighty. As God Almighty states, "And I have not created the jinn and the men, but they may worship me." Therefore, neither are the rich and the businessmen exempt from worship. And nor are the common and poor people exempt from being indolent in their worship. Some have made great sacrifices to build the mosque. And there are some whose incomes are very low, but they have endured great hardships and made financial sacrifices. Children have also set high examples. However, regardless of the immense sacrifice they have made for the construction of this mosque, even then, it does not make any of you exempt from being indolent in their worship. These sacrifices will only be accepted when you do justice to filling the mosques and also fulfill the dues of worshipping God Almighty. Then, in the verse quoted, God Almighty states that become those who praise God Almighty. And one can fulfill the dues of praising God Almighty through worshipping Him. You should praise God Almighty for He has enabled you to make sacrifices for building this mosque. And by doing so, you will do justice to the mosque. You should praise God Almighty for He has opened avenues for tabligh, i.e. preaching, by granting you this mosque. Praise God Almighty for He has opened new ways to portray the beautiful teaching of Islam. And praise God Almighty for He has improved your financial circumstances. However, becoming financially better is not because of anyone's intellect, acuity or cleverness. In fact, it is due to the blessings of God Almighty. Therefore, always remember God Almighty's blessings. Praising God Almighty also entails that even at times of adversity, one should be thankful to God Almighty and never be ungrateful. You should also praise God Almighty, for He has enabled us to accept the Imam of this age and thus saved us from being ruined. God Almighty then states that a mu'min, i.e. a true believer, also makes his travels a means of seeking God Almighty's pleasure. Therefore, by coming to this country, you should also improve your efforts in tabligh, i.e. preaching, and seek the pleasure of God Almighty. The verse then states that a mu'min bows down to God Almighty. There is the bowing in Salat, but it also means to sacrifice your time, life and wealth in the way of faith. Therefore, take great care of your pledges. Do not simply repeat the pledge for sacrificing your life, wealth, time and provisions as a ritual. Rather, you should practically do it. God Almighty then states that it is also incumbent upon a believer to prostrate. In other words, to strive to attain God Almighty's nearness. Pay attention to your supplications. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has also stated that a mu'min, i.e. a true believer, is closest to God Almighty when in the state of prostration. Therefore, try to seek the prostrations of God Almighty's nearness. Prostration does not simply mean to place one's forehead on the floor. In fact, you should try to seek God Almighty's pleasure by prostrating before Him with complete humility. What is required is to direct our attention to adhere to the Nizam, i.e. the administrative system of the Jamaat, by abiding to God Almighty's commandments and sacrificing everything before God Almighty and putting aside our egos and forgetting and leaving aside our honor. It is indeed God Almighty's commandment to show obedience to the Nizam. And this also grants us the nearness to God Almighty. Thus, the prostrations enable one to draw nearer to God Almighty and can only happen when one has developed humility. Therefore, we need to search for this. And when we are enabled to make these prostrations of complete humility and are focused on making full efforts to attain God Almighty's nearness, then we should also utilize all our abilities and draw others closer to God Almighty by telling them about the virtuous things. And also preach to those who have become embroiled in the world and make them prostrate before God Almighty. And save others from being immersed in sin and falling into the fire. Today, it is the responsibility of every Ahmadi to save the world from God Almighty's displeasure. Also remember, as I have mentioned earlier, that God Almighty states that a true mu'min, i.e. a believer, is one who safeguards and is mindful of the limits set by God Almighty. In other words, try to strictly abide to the things which God Almighty has mentioned and which have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. It is also our responsibility to safeguard whatever God Almighty and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught us, and also to pay focus to whatever the promised Messiah alaihi salam has told us and expected to see from His Jamaat. Also pay heed to whatever the Khalifa of the time says to you. Listen to it and try to act upon it. Safeguard your faith and your practices. In this day and age, God Almighty has blessed us with the reward of Khilafat. You should value it because God Almighty has regarded it as an essential component for the strengthening of faith. And has given glad tidings to the believers who adhere to all these matters. Thus, assess yourselves and become a part of those whom God Almighty has given the glad tiding of being true believers. It is a great favor of God Almighty upon us that He has put the modern inventions into our service. Every year the Jamaat spends thousands of dollars on MTA. And this is a wonderful means of tabligh and tarbiyat, i.e. preaching and development. And above all, it is a means to connect with the Khalifa of the time. A few days ago, a mother mentioned to me during her meeting with me here that there is no system of tarbiyat, i.e. training and development for children, and there should be some system in place. However, instead of putting the blame on the missionary or the administration, remember that the children spend 6 days out of the week either with their parents or they are at school. Therefore, when they are at home, focus their attention towards at least watching the programs of the Khalifa of the time. It will create a link and love for Khilafah through this. And it will also develop and train them, and they will learn about the unity of the Jamaat. Therefore, if parents want to save their future generations, then they should not only attach themselves to the programs of the Khalifa of the time, but also attach their children to them. Some non-Ahmadis also write to me and tell me that after listening to your sermon or program, they learned about the reality of faith. Therefore, in order to learn about faith, bring about reformation, and to establish unity, it is extremely important for an Ahmadi to attach him or herself to the programs of the Khalifa of the time. For instance, here in Japan, when the sermon is being delivered live, there is a difference of time zones. But they are repeated at various times and therefore can be watched. There is an ill in some people that they continuously search for weaknesses in each other. Instead of looking for weaknesses, they should spend their time in doing constructive works. Similarly, the office holders, whether they are presidents of the jamaats or other office holders, they should train people with love and affection and also promote love and affection. Instead of increasing grievances amongst one another, they should try to increase love. If you are conveying the message of love for all and hatred for none to others, and there is animosity and malice in your hearts for each other, then this is not beneficial at all. Whosoever is in such a condition, they should change this condition in order to seek the pleasure of God Almighty and try to bring about changes in your condition and strive to be part of those people to whom God Almighty has given the glad tiding of being true believers. Sometimes it is considered an ordinary matter to speak against the Jamaat administration and Jamaat office holders at home. However, by doing this, you will be destroying your future generations subconsciously. Therefore, ponder over the fact that we are claiming that we will enjoin what is good and forbid evil. We will spread good deeds and stop evil deeds. So first of all, you should make yourselves and people in your household and children the addressees of this commandment. Otherwise, your propagation will not be effective. You have constructed this mosque. However, as I have stated before, strive to become those who fulfill the due rights of a mosque. I would also like to say to the Japanese Ahmadis that they should learn about their religion and progress in their faith and conviction. You should not look towards a born Ahmadi or a person who accepted Ahmadiyyat a long time ago. If they have weaknesses in matters relating to faith, then you should become a source of guidance for them. I have stated several times before that God Almighty is not anyone's relative. Allah the Almighty's help and support will be with the one who will do righteous deeds and raise their standards of worship. May Allah the Almighty enable every Ahmadi to live their lives whilst keeping this principle at the forefront. And may this mosque become a source of procuring a revolutionary change in the faith of every Ahmadi and also in their practical condition. May you become those who fulfill the rights of this mosque sincerely instead of being those who build a mosque with temporary enthusiasm and passion. I will now present some of the facts and figures relating to this mosque. The total area of this mosque is 1,000 square meters. It is a double-story building, as those who are visiting have seen. However, I will state this for the rest of the world, that this double-story building is located on the main road of this area, and this road connects all the main roads of this area. This building is very close to the highway exit. Rather, there are two highways that connect to it. There is a railway station close by. There is a train that goes directly from this train station to Nagoya International Airport. So in this regard, there are also many facilities. I have named this mosque Baitul Ahad. And for the purpose of blessings, bricks from Masjid Mubarak in Qadian and Darul Masih have been placed in it. On the first floor of the main hall of the mosque, where we are currently sitting, has the capacity for more than 500 worshippers. And on the upper level, there is a Lajna hall and a courtyard where a canopy can be erected in order to hold various functions. If this area is included, then a total of 700 to 800 worshippers can pray at one time. There is also an office on the second floor, a library, Lajna hall, a missionary house and guest rooms as well. The building of this mosque was initially purchased, however, construction was done to modify it. And in order to give it the look of a mosque, minarets were erected on all four corners, and a dome was also constructed. And this appearance has been a source of attraction for people towards this building, since it is situated on the main road. This mosque is the first mosque of the Jamaat, not only in Japan, but in the Northeast Asian countries, for instance, China, Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, etc. May Allah the Almighty make this a source of opening doors in other places, and may the Jamaat's progress there as well, and are able to construct mosques. As I have stated that this building was bought and converted into a mosque, it was bought in June 2013. And the total amount spent on its construction and various other projects is 13,078,000 yen. This equals to around $1,200,000. Half of this amount was provided by the center in the form of a grant or an aid. However, the remaining amount was contributed by the members here. The Jamaat here is small and people offered great sacrifices in order to add their donation to the construction of this mosque. May Allah the Almighty reward them all. Initially, when this building was bought, everyone's impression was that permission to construct a mosque would be easily obtained. However, there was a time when it seemed very difficult that permission to construct this mosque would be obtained. And it seemed very difficult to get permission for registering it as a mosque under the Jamaat's name and using it as a mosque. At one point, the lawyers advised the mosque committee that it seems very difficult for it to happen since the Jamaat is not registered and therefore the Jamaat's name might not be able to be transferred and other problems could also arise. Hence, it is better to withdraw from this deal. But Allah the Almighty removed all these obstacles in the way. There was some apprehension due to the possibility of opposition and problems by the local people because this is a small town. And this is the first mosque in this town. However, when the meeting was held with the local people, Allah the Almighty opened their hearts and they immediately agreed. Some of them might be sitting here today. All of these things should be a source of increasing the faith and conviction of the Ahmadis living here. And I will say again that they should pay attention towards understanding their responsibilities. There have been quite a few instances of great financial sacrifices for this mosque. An Ahmadi brother says that when members were encouraged to make donations for the construction of this mosque, Masjid Baitul Ahad, and when the collector or the secretary Mal encouraged him for donations, this Ahmadi took them to his house and said, "Come with me to my house and I will present everything that I have." And his wife, who is a Japanese lady, when they arrived at their house and mentioned the donation for the mosque, she bought various boxes and placed it in front of them. When money was taken out of these boxes, or when everything was totaled, it was worth $10,000. Similarly, Sadr Sahib Japan wrote that we were aware that some members were not financially well off. However, they limited their expenses and were fortunate enough to sacrifice for the construction of Allah the Almighty's house. At one time, they were $200,000 to $250,000 short, but the members made great sacrifices and endured immense difficulty and paid this amount. Those who had already paid before tried their best and presented anything that was available. And in this manner, approximately $700,000 were collected. A young student who is working part-time makes 80,000 yen, out of which he is able to pay 50,000 yen monthly for the mosque even to this day, or till the day this report was submitted. There are Ahmadi children who offered great sacrifices. They brought their pocket money and presented it for the mosque donation. And amongst the children, there is one girl who has sacrificed the most. She donated all the money in various currencies that was collected as gifts from her elders on different occasions. And in this manner, when this amount was totaled, it came out to be $9,000, and she presented this amount towards the mosque. Ahmadi ladies offered great sacrifices and presented their jewelry. One lady offered 24 bangles. Then there is another lady, she presented her jewelry that she received from her mother. One lady who recently came from Pakistan presented her new set of jewelry for the mosque that she had purchased in January for her daughter's wedding. May Allah the Almighty immensely grant everyone who offered these sacrifices. May He bless their wealth and may He bless their souls. May He increase them in faith and conviction continuously. And may He enable them to fulfill the due rights of this mosque. Where this mosque is a source of raising the standards of their worship, may they also become those who increase their love for each other, and may others become attracted towards this after witnessing this love and affection. The non-Ahmadi neighbors have also expressed immense love and sincerity. When a Japanese friend found out that guests from outside the country are arriving in great numbers to attend the opening ceremony of the mosque, he offered his big three-storied house to the Jamaat for the guests. Similarly, when the neighbors found out that a large number of guests are expected for the opening ceremony of the mosque, they offered their parking lot to the Jamaat for car parking. Usually, on opening ceremony of any building, the Japanese people decorate it with expensive flowers. When two Japanese friends found out that there is an opening ceremony of the mosque of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Japan, they said that they would like to decorate the mosque with flowers for this occasion. Therefore, they helped in this regard. I would like to mention the cooperation from a non-Muslim lawyer in regards to the registration of the mosque. Akio Najima Sahib continuously cooperated in legal matters. He cooperated very selflessly. The total fee for his work comes up to $20,000 at least. However, he said that there are many favors of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community on Japan, and in return I will do this work without any payment, and therefore he did not accept any fees. This mosque was mentioned in the newspapers and media, as I have stated in the beginning. and through all the prominent newspapers and television channels, the Jamaat has been introduced. On the 11th of November, whilst announcing the completion of this mosque, the second largest newspaper of the country published a report that the construction of the mosque and the community center of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Japan, whose faith is about peace and love, has been completed in the city of Tsushima in Aichi Prefecture. This is the area of the local government located here. This mosque consists of 5 large and small minarets. Then this report said that almost 500 worshippers can offer prayer here. It is also written that it is the hallmark of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community to organize programs that spread peace, love, and increase social interaction within the society. The total number of members in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Japan are about 200, of which majority is Pakistani and 15 other nationalities. This community is at the forefront in volunteer work. Apart from their volunteer work for the earthquake in Cuba, tsunami and earthquakes in northern Japan, this community has been involved in distributing food, etc., and participating in serving the victims of this year's flood. Hence, this is the impression of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community on others, which is that they are peaceful representatives who spread peace and that they serve humanity. It is now the duty of every Ahmadi to maintain this impression and develop it further. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone, and that every Ahmadi is able to spread the fact that Islam is a religion of love and peace. And that our mosques are a symbol of this. And so that the ways to spread the true message of Islam to this nation are developed further. And may this nation become amongst those fortunate people who recognize their Creator and is able to understand the status of the one who was a favor for mankind, the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر